Yuta-san, how do you think this Tom-san talk, this after Second World War, the 1917, the changing the half century, and the local area also changing? And
yeah, obviously I'm simplifying. Oversimplifying to a massive degree, but I'm just giving you sort of a general sense of why I think some of these things happen.
Yes, no, St. Louis, where I once lived, had several neighborhoods that was just tore down or separated by a highway running through the city. And just recently, maybe 5-10 years ago, this sort of project, sort of a digital project to try to reconstruct or preserve the memory of that neighborhood. What was the neighborhood like? What were the houses like that was torn down by the highway in itself? And also, like, the remaining neighborhoods, now two separate neighborhoods separated by huge highway running through the city, trying to, I guess, remember how it was like before that has happened and things like that. So I didn't live through that time in the United States, but I'm sure that kind of things took place. And now there is probably a renewed interest in bringing back those memories. Lost memories, perhaps.
How do you think, Thompson, about the memory?
Well, I do think that there is a, I don't know if I would call it a renewed interest so much as just an evolving interest. A lot of younger people also now interested in, and for a while now have been interested in history, but their sense of what constitutes history is a little different than my generation would be. So there's a very big interest in what people call mid-century modern. So it's design and styles and things from the 1950s and 60s that is popular amongst people, I would say, you know, in their 20s and 30s, maybe even into their 40s. That's the style that they're interested in. In my generation, it would have been more Victorian-type things. And then for people older than me, it would have been even older than that. So each generation has this sort of imaginary past that they yearn for in some way, a sense of nostalgia or something that they were just kind of vaguely familiar with in their childhood, not enough to really understand it, but enough to sort of sense it, to know it when they see it, kind of thing. And so I got interested in old houses because when I was very young, I would walk to school, and all the houses that I walked by were old, you know, from the 1920s or before that. Often many of them were from the late 1800s. So that era, that style, that design sort of seeped into me as this, I don't know, this feeling of this was the look of the times, I guess you'd say, the look that I was familiar with. And then so as I got older, and things started to change and styles changed, I found myself longing for that. And so I think that happens to every generation. When you get older, you start to kind of miss things that from your childhood because it was a simpler time for you. You had less to worry about. You were more in tune with your senses. I think as you get older, you learn to sort of block things out and focus more. So if you think about being very young, you could sit outside and you hear an airplane go by or a car in the distance. You would listen to those things. You would hear them because you didn't know what was important to pay attention to or not. So you paid attention to everything. And as you get older, you kind of lose that. I now have to stop and think about listening to things like that. I don't automatically do it. So even the sound of wind, I don't even notice it unless I happen to think, oh, it's windy. And then I'll listen to the wind and the leaves and I'll hear it. As a young person, I would have heard that and paid attention to it automatically as a child. But now I have to think about it. So I think it's that connection to your past that gets people interested in these things. And I suppose in St. Louis, there is an interesting history into that town. And it goes back a long way because it's a river town. And so there was a lot there, and they tore down an awful lot. They built that arch. They tore down all the factory buildings and the warehouses along the river there to do that. Put highways in. They tore down, you know, they destroyed an awful lot of what was the original city to build some quote unquote improvements that didn't necessarily improve it. Some of them did and some didn't. And most were just changes in style, but you can't undo what you've done when you tear things down like that. So I think people sometimes will recognize that and want to change something about it.
How do you think Thompson said about the generation, also the different things have a different sense, and also the local area has their own character, I think.
So yeah, and about the younger generation, what they think of historical, what they think of is history or historical are changing. I guess it's certainly true and probably the same in Japan as in the United States as well, because the youngest, well, shouldn't say youngest, but more younger generations in Japan, there's a resurgence of what we in Japan we call Showa period, Heisei period. Mm-hmm. Younger generations are interested in material culture from Showa period, Heisei period, which is like Showa is, well, it was a long time period. So it started 100 years ago and ended maybe 40 years ago. And then Heisei period was right after that. So 30, 40 years ago, and the younger generations are now interested in material culture, anything from clothing items to furniture, some other accessories, things like that. I guess similar things are happening here. I guess what you describe, similar things are happening over here as well, and different things are now considered historical. Probably has something to do with childhood memories,
mm-hmm.
as well. It's a little, this is a little unrelated, but what I being finding interesting is like so the cities in the United States, bigger cities or East Coast cities are probably different, but cities or maybe little towns in the Midwest or in the Western frontier, those cities are in the United States are probably built, mostly the residential part of those towns are built in the 19th century. It probably varies depending on which city, town you're talking about. Champaign-Urbana, maybe its residential neighborhood, a lot of it was built maybe 150 years ago, or so, maybe around the same time as U of I was founded. And that time frame is sort of when contrast it with the history of Japanese cities, that 150 years time period is actually quite interesting. Because in Japan, I think Japanese people tend to think the United States is a younger country. And, well, yeah, that might be true because, you know, Japan has a longer sort of continuous history as sort of a organized nation. If it's, I mean, it's not a modern nation state, but, you know, has a longer 1,000 years of history as a sort of a coherent, semi-coherent, whatever, nation. So, yeah, I guess in Japan, Japanese people tend to think the United States is a younger country. But when you think about it in like that 100 years, 150 years time frame, a lot of what is now in Tokyo, for instance, have burned down several times. There was a great Kanto earthquake. And there was World War II bombing as well. So when you visit older places, older buildings in Tokyo, what they proudly show us is stuff from probably 100 years ago, and maybe as young as 70, 80 years ago. Recently, I visited the library of the University of Tokyo, and they were showing us their reading room, the original reading room. They said they retain original furniture, reading room tables and chairs from 100 years ago. And they showed it us with great pride. It's original. It's from right after we rebuild from the Great Kanto earthquake. And that's like after the 10th century. And I was with someone from the University of Chicago, and I was very sure that the University of Chicago actually has older library than that. I think that University of Tokyo might have, you know, intellectual heritage that's longer than that of U of Chicago, but the continuity of University of Chicago buildings probably like 150 years, and that's like they have more history in their buildings. So I felt that it was just interesting. If you just look at that, at the history of the buildings in that time span, Tokyo doesn't really have that older historical buildings than many cities or little towns in the United States. And when you look at sort of history of academic buildings too, like a lot of universities in the United States were built around maybe, well, again, like Ivy League schools are older and there are stuff like that, but maybe like somewhere between 200 and 150 years ago, and their buildings, original buildings, many of the universities still have their original buildings and furniture intact, although they've added a lot of new stuff and a lot of, you know, some of the uglier stuff later in their life. But no, yeah, it just, and then modern universities in Japan didn't come around until the oldest ones did come around 150 years ago, but many of them didn't come around until 100 or even after World War II. That's like 70, 80 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just felt interesting, like what we consider history, what we consider historical, what we consider have long history, tradition, things like that. It all sort of depends on the history, general history of the place. And when we look at, you know, just look at the academic institutions in the United States and Japan, you know, Japanese universities tend to have, you know, newer things that they think is very old and traditional and very proud of. But but from the perspective of someone who works or worked in university in the United States, they are not as old as the ones we're used to. And it's just a feel. I found that very interesting.
I think that is interesting. Yeah, there are several things that might explain that, but I'm not sure. I've never really thought about that to any great degree. But I mean, one thing that might explain it is there is a certain lifespan of usefulness in items, I suppose, or in buildings or in anything where, you know, the ways we use these places has changed so much that they're no longer usable at all. So we're still, you know, in the last 100 to 150 years or so, we still use our places more or less like we did before. We live in houses, we have libraries, we have schools, we, you know, these kinds of institutions and these kinds of places remain enough, similar enough, that they can be used in the same way and therefore retain a lot of their original features. Whereas if you go too far back, it's almost unrecognizable how they were used, and no one would have kept it that way long enough. So you have temples, for example, is a good example of something that you can keep doing the same way because of tradition. You can keep utilizing it in the exact same way for centuries if you want to, whereas a school, probably not, because whereas in the past, maybe everybody's, you know, writing on clay tablets, sitting on the floor, now we have seats and computer. You know, the things have changed so much. So that may have something to do with things like that. In this country, there just isn't enough built history. There's not enough structures and organized, laid out, obvious civilization, things that you associate with civilization, like towns, cities, houses, whatever. There's nothing that really goes back that far. So we don't have that same problem of things becoming just useless by virtue of the way they've been used has changed so much. So we have, you know, the Dixon Mounds or something like that, which was near St. Louis, I think. You know, and they become tourist attractions, but they're not, you couldn't still use them because people don't even really understand now how they were used exactly. They have conjecture on what kind of use those things had, but they don't really have any idea. So that's my guess. If you had to ask me off the top of my head why that might be, why people might refer to that period of history as being somehow meaningful to them, it could be just because they can still comprehend how things were used at that time period, and they're aware of and really conscious of the distance between then and now. Whereas you go much farther back and it's like, I don't even know what that is. It's just it was a building with pillars, but I have no idea what they used it for. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't, you know, then it just becomes a curiosity. Mm-hmm. So that's a guess. But yeah, that's an interesting point. I never thought about that.